Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Next Sunday will be the big week. The Super Bowl will take place in Miami. Part of the halftime show from Super Bowl 50. Jennifer Lopez and Shakira will perform the Super Bowl halftime show next week. We'll look forward to that. But you'll probably be stuffing Super Bowl appetizers down your gullet next week as well. And I thought we'd spend a little time on our Food Time show today, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show, by the way, sponsored by the Greek Islands Restaurant, GreekIslands.net. Thought we'd spend some time talking about some new and innovative Super Bowl appetizer recipes. Thought we would open up the phone lines and get some of your tried and true recipes, ones that are always hits when you have a Super Bowl party. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. And I thought we would welcome into the program Elise Whitney, who is with Epicurious.com, BonAppetit.com. And Elise, nice to have you with us today. Happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday. Thank you so much for having me.
Very nice to have you here with us. So what do you think the keys are for a successful Super Bowl party before we actually get into some recipes?
Yeah, so I think that with a Super Bowl party, you want to have handheld appetizers or things that can be easily eaten while watching the game, walking around. Nothing too messy or too hard to eat while you're on the go, because you don't want to have to be using a knife and a fork when you're watching the game.
Yeah, probably Sloppy Joe is not a good idea. While very delicious, probably not, yes, not a good idea. A little bit too sloppy to negotiate while you're watching a game, having a beer, whatever.
Yeah, you want them to be quick to make and easy to eat. So you don't want to have to worry when you're preparing for a Super Bowl party. The goal is to watch the game. The goal is not only to be slaving away in the kitchen when other people are cheering in the next room.
Yeah, I guess getting as much done ahead of time also would be a key as well, right? So you can also enjoy the party.
Yeah. And there are great things like slow cookers that you can keep things warm the whole party. If you did want to go for a pulled pork or a sloppy joe, just maybe get little slider buns or something. So it's something that you can sandwich and eat over a plate, hunched over while you're, you know, watching the pigskin fly around and be like, okay, I can handle this because I have a bun to contain this meat.
Yeah. You have some great recipes. On BonAppetit.com, there is a section, if you Google, if you go to BonAppetit.com, you can certainly find it. But there, if you search 71 Super Bowl appetizers to tackle this year, you'll find some of the ones that we're going to talk about here today. What do you think are the most tried and true ones? Are there certain recipes, not necessarily from your list, but ones that just perennially are favorites?
I think that the classics for a Super Bowl party are always going to be what I like to call the Super Bowl, the dips. You have the guacamole, the queso, the seven-layer dip, the spinach artichoke, buffalo chicken, all of those things people expect when they come to a Super Bowl party. They want to be able to just dip into anything they can with a chip. So those are always classic. I think that even though I said that messy food isn't good, buffalo wings. Who doesn't want a buffalo wing while they're watching football? And I also think that the foods that you would love at any party, a pig in a blanket, some sort of toast with something on it can be really good, like a crostini, anything that is just easy and something you can pop in your mouth and go on your way.
Yeah, you probably don't want to get too fancy on Super Bowl Sunday, right? and the other thing that I've learned, from doing this topic on the show here, is that people are not especially interested in overly healthy things. Also, Super Bowl Sunday is kind of their cheat day.
Yeah, I think that in this kind of modern age, in 2020, people are being a little more mindful of what they eat, but they don't want to eat a kale salad at the Super Bowl party. But I think that there are ways that people are adapting their Super Bowl food to maybe be slightly healthier, having more vegetables on the plate next to the chips with the dip, or making something that has a little bit of vegetables hidden in there. Maybe that's more for like the parents trying to make their kids eat healthy, but I don't think that people want to eat healthy. They can definitely treat it as a cheat day, but there are ways to make things that are delicious and snackable and great appetizers, like a lettuce wrap or a meatball that you just put on a little skewer, that are just as satisfying, but have modernized the Super Bowl party a little bit. So yeah. I can argue both sides there.
Yeah, not a health or diet nightmare. But no. Still very satisfying at a Super Bowl party. That's definitely. You'd mentioned chicken wings. Who doesn't love a chicken wing at a Super Bowl party? Couldn't agree with you more on that. You've got some interesting variations on your list. Talk to me about a basic wing and how to spice it up a little bit and make it something special.
Yeah, well, I think that the best method for making a chicken wing is to bake it. It can get really crispy in the oven. You can make different flavors on one tray. Or if you're going this traditional deep fryer way, you can also just put a bunch of different bowls of different sauces or different marinades. You can do something that's more like a tandoori spice Indian wing. You can do a garlic and herb with a little bit of Parmesan for kind of an Italian wing. You can mix with za'atar, which is a more Mediterranean seasoning that is going to give you something interesting that people may not expect. You can do a bunch of herbs, like a chimichurri sauce that you would put on a steak. You could put on wings. There are just like so many variations that you can change up a chicken, which is a pretty bland meat in itself. So any sauce that you put on it can really spruce it up. And you can also grill if you happen to be living somewhere where it's a little warmer, or you have a grill pan indoors, to add a little bit more spice, char some peppers or some chilies on the grill, or roast them in the oven. And then you can get just a little bit more flavor packed into it than the traditional buffalo wing sauce, which everyone will come to expect. But if you can surprise someone at your party with something that they'll be talking about even maybe more than who's performing at the halftime show or who's up at the at halftime, then that could be a fun way to make your party a little more interesting.
Yeah, now I gotta say to have the traditional buffalo sauce is a must. It's un-American to not have the buffalo sauce there. Although I was at an event last night in which they served some wings. And I think they were fried. I'm not really sure. They certainly were not overly greasy, but they were coated with sort of a honey chili sauce. So it was sweet and savory and spicy. And they were some of the most delicious wings I think I've ever had.
I think it's because you were surprised by it. So I'm Korean, and in Korean wings, they do have a spicier wing. And then they have like a garlic soy wing. It's super crispy. It's really umami rich. It's salty in the best way and unexpected to someone who may only have had buffalo wings or only have had barbecue wings. So introducing people to something like that, which is a little bit sweet, a little bit sticky, a little bit salty, that can change someone's mind about wings forever. Yeah. So I think I encourage people to be a little more adventurous, because if you have, say you have a Super Bowl party every single year, no matter what team is playing, and then people come to expect the same classics from you, and then they get bored. Then they're like, okay, well, there's nothing new here. Maybe I'll go to Tom's party instead.
Negotiating around the parties. What's your feeling on these new air fryers that I'm seeing all over the place? That seems to be the appliance du jour right now. Do you like these for wings or other things that you might traditionally fry?
Yeah, so I don't have a traditional air fryer. I have a Breville smart oven toaster convection oven that has a air fryer setting. So basically it just hyperspeeds the air, the convection in the oven, and makes everything air fried and crispy. But I have friends and colleagues who just love the air fryer, because you use such little oil and you get almost the same effects as even with frozen appetizers. If you buy frozen french fries or frozen chicken wings, you could close your eyes and you could think that you're eating a deep fried food, but without all of the greasiness, without the extra fat. And I'm really astounded by how well they work. And I'm glad that they're here because people don't always want to deep fry for health reasons, for mess, for the smell.
Right.
And it's a great appliance, I think.
Yeah. Preparing the wings themselves, is there some trick to it? Any secret ingredient that needs to be in there?
Well, with the wings in the air fryer, I'm not super familiar with doing anything special to them. But I do know that if you put baking soda on chicken wings when you're salting them, it helps draw out the moisture and then will make them crispier in the oven or I imagine the air fryer as well. It's just a chemical reaction. I can't explain. I'm not a chemist, but I do know that it works.
So you just sprinkle it on?
Yeah, or like just a little bit.
Or dredge it.
I have to look. So rather than a dredge that you would do in like a batter, this is more, actually it's a baking powder, pardon me. Baking powder and salt is what I normally do a little bit of sprinkling of to help crisp them up in the oven.
Okay.
And it gives them even if you don't have an air fryer, it can make them feel like they're deep fried.
Got it. Okay. We're going to move on to some of the other recipes in a minute. Plus, I want to open up our phone lines to our listeners and have them tell you what their go-to Super Bowl item is, what's always a hit when they put it out on the table. I'm hoping for several Velveeta recipes. It's not really a Super Bowl Sunday, Elise, unless we have several Super Bowl Velveeta recipes. I'm still trendy from the block. Jennifer Lopez, the Super Bowl halftime headliner next week with Shakira. Be enjoying some J-Lo and maybe some chicken wings at the same time next week. Elise Whitney is a freelance writer. Her 71 Super Bowl appetizers are on bonappetit.com. What are some of your favorites that are on the site, Elise?
From when I worked at Bon Appetit, was this ham and cheese toasties in a bread basket. So basically you hollow out a big loaf of bread.
Oh. I'm sorry, say it again because the phone cut out for a second.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's called ham and cheese toasties in a bread basket.
Okay.
So it's basically a loaf of white bread that has been hollowed out, made tiny ham and cheese sandwiches, and then baked back in the bread as if it was a bread bowl but full of sandwiches. I think that one's so fun. It's delicious. It's easy, but the presentation is crazy. It looks like this. You open the top of the bread, and there's all these tiny sandwiches inside. It's like a little present.
Oh, that's a nice little surprise inside there. I enjoyed the recipe for the salty sweet party mix. It's like sort of a step above the Chex mix that lot of people do.
I think that when you eat Chex Mix, I love Chex Mix. I grew up on it. I'm very nostalgic for it. But some of the pieces you don't like the best. Maybe you don't like the wheat Chex. Maybe you don't like pretzels. You can sub in sesame sticks. You can sub in wasabi peas. You could put in more Cheez-Its or something, a goldfish. You could put anything in a party mix that you love, and then it becomes your own recipe, and then people will be like, oh, where can I buy this party mix? And you say, I made it. And it sounds really impressive, even though it takes maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah. What are the ingredients that you have in this particular recipe?
In that one, you know, let me take a peek at it, because we at Bon Appetit, there were so many different party mixes that we came up with that it's hard to keep track of them all. When you looked at it, was there something that drew your eye when you looked at the picture, or did you just were scrolling through this long gallery of 71 recipes?
Both, but just complete deliciousness. It looks like lots of different crackers. I'm a fan of sesame sticks, and it looks like there are sesame sticks in here. It's not predominantly the Chex cereal. It looks like there's nuts in it. It looks salty. It looks sweet. I mean, all of those things were things that I think caught my eye.
Yeah, and what's fun about this is it uses Asian rice crackers, which you can get at any Asian grocery store, even at some more traditional grocery stores. They're going to be sesame sticks, little rice cakes, rice crackers, all different shapes and sizes, and they will catch the ghee, which is a clarified butter that has been flavored with garlic and then honey, and you add miso to this, nutritional yeast, sesame seeds. For people who have never used nutritional yeast before, vegans use it a lot because it has a reminiscent flavor of cheese. It's little flakes. It kind of looks like fish food. I know that doesn't sound great, but the flavor is incredible on popcorn, on snack mixes like this, and it's a really surprising, salty, umami flavor that you just can't get in anything else.
Some people are texting in questions back to the wings. 708 area code asks, do you brine the wings first?
I don't brine the wings in a wet brine, but sometimes what I do is if you salt the wings pretty heavily with kosher salt and leave them uncovered in the fridge at least overnight, that will dry out the skin. And basically that dry brining process, the salt will get absorbed into the meat because as the moisture is drawn out of the chicken wing, it comes to the surface, and then overnight it will dry out again and reabsorb. So you have the salt flavor is in the meat, and it also makes it more juicy, more tender, and incredibly flavorful, while that skin can get really crispy because it's dry.
773 area code said that they got a little bit lost when we were talking about baking powder or baking soda. Which was it that you recommended including?
My apologies. It is baking powder. I misspoke, and I'm glad that she made sure that the correction was there.
Okay, so baking powder, not baking soda.
Yes.
For the
wings.
For the wings. 630 area code says, cook a pound of pork and a pound of ground beef, drain it, and then add 8 ounces of Velveeta. Serve it on little pieces of rye bread and bake it. You can bake it in the oven, 350 degrees for 10 minutes. It's awesome. This is a classic Super Bowl recipe as far as I'm concerned.
Really? I didn't grow up with ground meat and Velveeta together, but a friend of mine makes an awesome recipe using cream cheese in a similar way, where you take crumbled ground sausage that is uncooked. You cook it off, and then you mix in a can of Rotel, classic Rotel, and a block of cream cheese. Mix that together on the stove, and that becomes a sausage dip. Ooh. So that's similar, I think. But Velveeta, I feel, is always a Velveeta plus Rotel. Microwave, you've got queso.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You can't. Velveeta makes everything better in life. We all know that. Talking about cream cheese for a second, I've mentioned this several times on the show. My grandmother used to make a cream cheese olive dip that is so incredibly simple, and I made it really just for nostalgic purposes to have to taste my grandmother's dip again. And I've served it so many times now because it's such a big hit. It's a block of cream cheese. It's chopped Spanish olives that you mix together. And you form that into a ball and put chopped either walnuts or pecans on it. That's all there is to it. And, my grandmother used to serve it with Ritz crackers that I find a little fragile to serve with a cream cheese dip. But it's so incredibly delicious. It's got to like olives. It's got, very distinctive olive taste to it. But it's got the nice crunch from the nuts and the creaminess from the cream cheese. I always serve that.
Yeah, one time I was interviewing actress Rachel Brosnahan. She's the lead on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Sure.
And part of the event that she was at was bringing one of her grandmother's recipes, I believe. And it was very similar to what you just described, but it had blue cheese in it too, which I thought was a really interesting twist. So maybe you can try that for your Super Bowl Sunday this year.
Give that a try. She's from the Chicago area. Maybe her grandmother knew my grandmother.
Maybe you have the same grandmother.
Maybe we are related. Maybe it turns out that we're related. Who knew?
What a way to find out, right?
What a way to find out on the food show. Who would have guessed? A connection through cream cheese. One of the other recipes in your 71 Super Bowl appetizer recipes on bonappetit.com, roasted peppers with parm breadcrumbs. This sounds so delicious and is so attractive. Explain this one to us.
So I'm sure that you've had a stuffed pepper in your life. You're used to having a pepper that's hollowed out and has some ground beef in it, maybe. But this one is a little bit a little bit different in that there is no meat in it. And it's more of kind of a nice bite because the pepper will get nice and soft in the oven. And then you get the crunch of panko breadcrumbs and Parmesan mixed together that just makes it a lovely little bite. And what I think could be great to make this into a Super Bowl appetizer is just cut those pepper pieces a little bit smaller, either before they go in the oven or after. And then it's kind of like having a kind of a mix of like a chip and dip or the top of a macaroni and cheese that's been baked in the oven, but a slightly healthier 2020 version.
Yeah, it's, you know, you take a red pepper or a yellow pepper. I guess you could do it with the green pepper also, but it's much more attractive with the red, yellow, or orange.
And the yellow and the orange, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, when they bake, the flavors get, you know, or roasted get so intense. You take this, cut the pepper so you can flatten it out and cut it into flat pieces onto which you put the mixture of the panko and the parm on top of it and then let it melt a little bit. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it only takes about 20 minutes to cook, and that you can, while you're mixing up, say, a buffalo chicken dip or preparing something in the slow cooker, this can be in the oven, ready to go, so then when people come in the door for your party, there's something immediately for them to snack on.
You have a recipe in here for pretzel bites. I don't think I've ever seen one where people are making them from scratch.
Yeah, they take a little bit of practice, but I think that once you've made your own pretzel bites, they will be part of your repertoire forever, because you're like, oh man, like I've never made a pretzel bite before. But the actual active time isn't that long. And we also had a recipe that went along with that, the spicy cheddar cheese spread. You can also serve it with different types of spicy mustards. But with a pretzel bite, when you make it yourself, it's, for one, it's hot. It's hot right out of the oven. It's really like squishy and airy inside, and you could probably eat a dozen of them without thinking.
Right. That's what scares me, actually, the how delicious they must be. And what kind of dip am I seeing here in the picture with it? It looks really great.
Yeah. That's the spicy cheddar cheese spread, and it's super easy. It uses your favorite thing, cream cheese, mayonnaise, sour cream for that creamy base, cheddar cheese, garlic, paprika, and cayenne pepper. It's not as spicy as the name spicy says in the title. I'm pretty spice averse, and I remember eating this when we tested it, and it's delicious. It just has a little hint of kick at the back of your throat when you're eating it.
That sounds really good. Now, my only experience of watching pretzels being made from scratch is if I've been at the airport or at the mall, these stores that sell they're in their counter and they're making the pretzels to entice you, and it just looks like a bread dough. Is that basically what it is?
Yeah, it's very similar to a bread dough. You can actually make it in a stand mixer if you have it with a dough hook. And it's you don't have to knead it as long as you would have to knead a loaf of bread, about 10 minutes. Then you have to let it rise and then punch it down and roll them, which is kind of like playing with Play-Doh, rolling them into logs, cutting them into pieces, making them into little balls, and then baking them off. And you would just – and what the thing about pretzels is different than bread – is that you use baking soda this time, baking soda in the water. You bring that to a boil. You kind of just dunk them in there, and then you bake them. I'm not sure of the exact chemistry behind the baking soda, but it does help give it that signature crust on the outside of a pretzel, and it gives it that kind of, I guess, a tangy flavor that you expect from a pretzel that you wouldn't get from a roll or another type of bread.
I'm told that Super Bowl Sunday is the biggest day of avocado consumption of the year, presumably because of massive amounts of guacamole that will be made. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got their own little recipe. What do you think is the killer guacamole recipe? And in your article, you actually have something that's called Bon Appetit's best guacamole. So
yes, I mean, that's a pretty tall order. My friend Rick Martinez developed this recipe. He is a guacamole aficionado, and there's really nothing crazy about this recipe. It's just that you're using really fantastic ripe avocados. There's some white onion, serrano chili, which has a nice spice, but nothing too over-the-top hot to overpower. The garlic is grated inside, which will make it be small, and you won't be able to accidentally get a big chunk of garlic.
Right.
It also makes it easier to mix through. Lime juice, essential to not only give flavor and tang, but to make sure that the avocados don't get brown too quickly. And cilantro. And then the optional thing is that putting toasted pepitas, pumpkin seeds on top, mm-hmm. just gives it a little bit of flair and it looks pretty. And if you're going to put out a spread that you want people to be enticed by, taking that extra 2 minutes to toast some pumpkin seeds can really make the difference on top. And also extra crunch.
I can only imagine how delicious that must be with the pumpkin seeds or pepitas on top. Karen mm-hmm. is in Park City. Hi, you're on WGN.
Hello there. I just want to come up with a easy recipe for somebody who may want something a little sweeter. You take a brick of cream cheese, a small can of crushed pineapple with its little bit of juice in it, and a cup of crushed walnuts or chopped walnuts, and you can mix it all together, put it in a bowl or whatever, and serve it with Ritz crackers.
Well, that sounds good.
Wow. Sounds great.
Yeah, that sounds good. I could even see serving it, at least, what do you think, maybe with pieces of apple?
Yeah, some apple or maybe some vanilla wafers. Oh, I love a vanilla
wafer. Yeah, that would work. That would work. But the age-old recipe was always Ritz crackers.
Sure, the sweet and salty.
Sweet and salty.
But the other thing would be good, too.
I love that.
The apples in wedges or whatever. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, do you put that out every Super Bowl, Karen?
Well, I don't do it for Super Bowl. But I do it for other different parties, and I always take it to work, and they would attack it.
Right. Yeah, there are certain recipes when you put them out for family, friends, you take it to work, you know that it's going to be a hit no matter what you do.
Well, it's a little bit sweeter. Instead of your veggies and spinach dip, yeah. It's a little change. You can mix it up.
Yeah. Now, when you put the pineapple, are you putting the crushed pineapple, or are you putting...
It has to be crushed.
Crushed, so it
crushed pineapple.
So it blends
and
better with the cream cheese.
Depending on how juicy the can is, you can use some of the juice or all of it, depending on when you're mixing it together, how much juice you want to pour in there.
Yeah, I was making something that called for pineapple, and I bought the crushed, and I wish I could even remember what it is now, but I should have bought whatever, maybe like a chopped pineapple instead of crushed, because it was too crushed for what I was using it for.
Yeah, but you have to pay attention. It usually will say crushed or pineapple chunks.
Yeah, in your application, though, crushed makes sense.
Because it mixes
better and incorporates with
right. You wouldn't want the big hunks of pineapple mixed with the other goodies.
Yeah, that's a great recipe, Karen. I appreciate your call today.
Thank you.
Have a great Sunday. I appreciate it. A quick break, and we'll return with more Super Bowl appetizers. Still love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Enjoy the warm Mediterranean ambiance of authentic Greek dining at the award-winning Greek Islands restaurant with extra virgin olive oil and seafood, wines, herbs, and spices, all imported directly from Greece. They provide delicious and healthy meals. Some of their favorites are the whole Mediterranean sea bass, melt in your mouth, the baked chicken rigatoni, homemade gyros, so delicious and so different. On these cold, frosty days, some delicious egg lemon soup is fantastic, or one of their hearty vegetarian homemade soups like navy bean lentil or homemade chickpea soup. Private party rooms are available. The Greek Islands also serves great catering. Since 1971, the Greek Islands has been Chicago's first choice for great food and reasonable prices, a perfect place for a business lunch, family dinner, or to stop in before a game or show. Visit the Greek Islands in Chicago, 200 South Halsted in Lombard, 300 East 22nd Street. Free parking is available. The Greek Islands Restaurant, America's most popular Greek restaurants. Elise, how about that? Some Greek items for your Super Bowl table would be delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like kind of a Euro-inspired meatball, like a lamb meatball, could be really delicious, dipped in a chimichurri or some sort of sauce with a a Greek salad as the component next to it with some cucumbers, tomatoes, olives, that sort of stuff could be really interesting.
Well, you know, very traditional Greek is chicken skewers or pork tenderloin skewers that are, you know, just on the grill, salt, pepper, oregano, and a little bit of lemon. And, you know, on a skewer, you get 3-4 pieces of meat. On these skewers, it's fantastic with maybe like a nice tzatziki sauce, for dipping. That would be fantastic. There's all kinds of dips that you could do. You know, you could do it yourself, or as I said in the commercial, Greek Islands does catering. I'm sure they'd be happy to put something together for you for Super Bowl.
Yeah, and order in.
Yeah, nothing more delicious than have somebody else do the work for you, right?
Yeah.
You were talking about a salad, which can be a little tricky at a Super Bowl party. But one of the recipes that you have on the site is a hand salad, which is very interesting. You have it here with buttermilk, grapefruit, and mixed seed dressing. But I suppose you could really do any kind of dressing. Just the idea of a hand salad, turning salad into finger food, is a very interesting idea.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at like a romaine or a little gem lettuce, it's easy to just take one leaf, dip it in something, it's sturdy enough, and then pop it in your mouth. People do it with lettuce wraps. This is just more of a dip application. There's also an antipasto dip that we did with the salad, the hand salad variation that you can also find in the same gallery. That is the classics of an antipasto salad, just mixed up, chopped together, and put in a bowl.
Yeah, a piece of romaine, which, depending on where you are or how comfortable you are with it, with all the recalls that have been taking place, certain romaines from Arizona, I believe, are the safe ones to go for right now. But endive, I use endive all the time as a finger food, and you put it into a dip, and it's like a little crunchy, delicious, with some tasty little dipping sauce in it. I think, a super nice idea. Let's go to Roy on the phone at 312-981-7200. You're on WGN.
Hey, Dean, how you doing? It was a staple at our Super Bowl parties, and we can't think of the name. It was a chicken liver wrapped in bacon. Now, I don't know if they were baked or deep fried, but man, were they good. And we can't think of the name of those.
Huh.
Does anybody have an idea what they were?
Elise, any idea?
I've never had a chicken liver wrapped in bacon, and I'm Jewish, so you'd think that I'd be really, really
should,
know the chicken liver.
You should be all things liver. Yeah, you should be all things.
I know. My grandmother is not kosher. She would love that.
See, my grandmother, again, invoking my grandmother, she used to make chicken livers all the time, but she would just saute them in, Greek grandmother, salt, pepper, oregano, and it was really delicious. But we never wrapped
in bacon with a toothpick, and then sometimes you would have a dipping sauce of some type of barbecue or a barbecue mixed with something, and they were phenomenal. And we don't know how to make them. We don't know what they're called. Nothing.
Well, we'll see if somebody knows anything about that. They'll call before the show's over. We're running out of time. But
thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Thank you for the call. Speaking of bacon, though, Elise, bacon is almost a must-have on your Super Bowl table. My favorite dates wrapped in bacon. I love it with a little blue cheese inside of it, but even just the bacon and the dates are fantastic. How do you go about making those?
It's really easy. You have to make sure you take the pit out, and then you can either stuff blue cheese in or wrap it in bacon. Bake it on a wire rack if you have one, a cooling rack or a wire rack set on top of your sheet pan so the bacon grease can drip through. There can be circulation. Make sure it's really crispy. There's also a recipe in that Bon Appetit gallery for figs with bacon and chili. And that one isn't wrapped, but the bacon is put on top. And the bacon is cooked. And then you have some maple syrup for a little bit of stickiness and either sherry or red wine vinegar to add a little bit of tang. And that is a nice, beautiful presentation on top of a halved fig, which is also sweet and a little bit sticky in the way that a date is. And on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, I realized we didn't talk about nachos or chili, two of the other biggest parts of the Super Bowl.
Right, right.
And my favorite way to combine the two is doing a Frito pie in a bag. Open up a bag of Fritos, put some either some chili or some seasoned ground beef on top, and then lettuce, tomato, cheese, scallions, anything that you want. And then you have a little handheld bag, so you can still have chili without needing to take out a bunch of bowls.
That sounds fantastic. Somebody called in and said that the chicken liver with the bacon is called Romaki, R-U-M-A-K-I. It's chicken liver, water chestnuts, bacon, soy sauce, and brown sugar. So if our friend who called in is still listening, look it up on Google. Rumaki, R-U-M-A-K-I. You can get more information on the 71 Super Bowl recipes at bonappetit.com. Elise Whitney is a freelance writer for them. It's been delightful to talk to you, Elise. I hope you have a great Super Bowl Sunday.
Much.
Thank you very much.